Travelers and monster catchers abound.
Hello, travelers and monster catchers abound. I'm Stella Ferris, and this is a Monster Catchers Journal podcast that you have crash landed on. Today's entry is a reflection you won't want to see. We're not talking about the friendly or even natural glyphs today. No, we're stepping into the shadow glass to confront something darker, something twisted. His name is False Shadow, the corrupted form of a glyph you may remember as Mimimir. Mimimir was already strange, trapping people in reflections, feeding off their identity. With False Shadow, he takes it further. There's an old rumor from the Shattered Lands, a circle of cloaked figures, people who claimed they could bring shattered glyphs back from the brink, attempted to restore Mimimir after it broke during a failed capture. They succeeded, technically. But what they brought back wasn't Mimimir anymore, it had changed. The frame was warped, the glass smoked with darkness, the glyph pulsed with fear. It stopped mimicking and started tormenting. They call it False Shadow. When I hear the name whispered at Luan Academy, I didn't believe it. I thought it was a warning tale. Some overblown myth passed around to scare junior catchers, you know? But last week, I found myself face to face with the mirror that bites back. It started in the ruins of a forgotten observatory, where the moon lit. Never quite touches the floor. I've been tracking strange energy patterns, ones that pulse like old fractured glyph magic, and that's when I saw it. A mirror. Just standing there alone, no frame, no anchor, just hovering, waiting, and it spoke. What do you fear, little spark? I was pulled in before I could even blink. Suddenly I was home, or I thought I was, but everything was wrong. Familiar walls cracked, voices I loved were twisted. I saw myself failing, letting the people I protect get hurt, losing everything. The fear was suffocating, and that's what he feeds on. If you give in, if you believe the vision, False Shadow rips your soul out and seals it in a jar. Delicate little thing it was, but black glass, whispering smoke, it all was too much, almost. But I remembered what Professor Lang said in one of his banned lectures. Fear, when faced, collapses in on itself. So I did the unthinkable. I reached for my capture knife, not to fight, but to cut the illusion. The mirror hissed. I sliced across the vision, the reflection split. He dropped the jar, my soul returned with a breath so sharp I felt it in my teeth. False Shadow recoiled. He didn't vanish, but he slithered back into the dark, watching, waiting. I didn't try to catch him, not yet. He's a cryptoglyph, now, beyond classification, dangerous to even name too often. But the good news, I'm still here, and so are you. I thought I had escaped him completely, but something's been off ever since. Reflections and puddles linger too long. My shadow twitches before I move, and sometimes I still hear the jars rattling behind me, even when nothing's there. So today I went back. Not physically, no. That would be reckless. But through meditation, through memory, through the silver of glass I kept from the cursed observatory. Let me tell you what I saw. The mirror world isn't just a place. It's a prison of the mind, built from your regrets, your shame, your nightmares. Imagine walking into a hallway made entirely of yourself, hundreds of mirrors stretching on forever. But none of them show the truth. Some show who you used to be. Others show who you could become. If everything went horribly wrong, in False Shadow's realm, time didn't exist. You're not walking forward, you're falling inward. Rooms appear based on what you fear most. I passed a nursery once, my mother's voice calling me. But when I opened the door, there was no one there, just a crib full of black feathers and broken glass. Then came the library. Books whispered, every mistake I've made out loud, every glyph failed to catch. Every friend I let down, the air in the room was heavy like it was watching me. And that's when I found the gallery of jars. Dozens of them, hundreds of them, each one with a name scratched into the glass. Some were long-forgotten catchers, others I recognized. One was Professor Lang's partner. Another one was a young trainee who went missing last year, Zell. Sweet Zell, who had a fear of being alone. It really stumped me because Dr. Lang, he never really talks about his work partner. But there was a jar with his work partner's name. His work partner that he used to work with. But he can't no more because they're missing. I couldn't hear their voices, but I felt their presence trapped, dormant, but not gone. False Shadow was there too, looming behind the shelves. No form, just a shimmer. A tall outline of smudge, black line and cracked silver eyes. He doesn't speak with words, he speaks in memory. I felt it again, my fear. This time it was my team, Xena, Luna, even little Mirno. I saw them, still and pale, caught in reflection that wouldn't shatter. My breath caught. That's when I remembered I wasn't really there. I still held control. I grabbed the sliver of real mirror I had brought with me, the only one I cut my way out with my last time. And I whispered a name, mine, because that's what he feeds on, forgetting who you are. The moment I remembered, the room cracked like a spider web. Jars shook, False Shadow hissed, and I escaped. Not unscathed, but whole. That's the true danger of False Shadow. He doesn't just trap your body, he makes you question whether you deserve to leave. He makes you want to give up. So, here's what I've learned, travelers. If you fall into the world by accident or design, remember, your worst fear is only a part of you. The real prison is the one you accept. And as long as you know your name, you can find the door. Bring something reflective, something real. But most importantly, bring your truth. That's the only thing he can't twist. There is something, however, I have to admit, travelers and monster catchers abound. I didn't catch False Shadow. I didn't even try, and maybe that was the right choice, or maybe it was fear. After escaping the mirror world, after walking through jars of stolen souls and illusions shaped like my worst thoughts, I had him. He was right there, colliding out of splintered reflections, his outline flickering like a candle behind warped glass. My glyph had even pulsed in my hand, ready to deploy. Aurabeek stood beside me, golden and loyal, eyes fixed on that shimmer. But I froze, not from terror, from understanding. False Shadow isn't a monster, he's a scar, the echo of pain and fear stitched together by people who didn't understand what they were reviving. He's not a wild thing running free, he's something made, born from the remains of Mimimir and the grief of those who couldn't let go, and I realized capturing him wouldn't fix that. There's a strange pressure among catchers, you know. We're supposed to fix things, log them, classify them, contain them. But False Shadow, he doesn't want to be contained. He wants to be understood. That's not an excuse. He's dangerous. What he does do to people, the fear, the traps, the soul jars, it's unforgivable. But something tells me, if I caught him now, I'd just be throwing another lock on the door that's already chained shut. He wouldn't be healed. He'd just be buried again. And what happens to buried fear? It festers, it grows teeth. So no, I didn't catch False Shadow. And I might never be the one who does, but I'll be watching, learning, maybe, just maybe, there's another way. Something beyond the trap, beyond the jar. A way to remind him who he was before he became a reflection of our worst selves. Not every glyph needs to be caught. Some need to be remembered. And until then, I'll keep the sliver of mirror I carry close. A reminder of the fear I faced and the fear I let go. False Shadow is still out there, but so am I. So after escaping the mirror world, I chose not to catch false, and not choosing to catch False Shadow, I didn't go home. I went straight to Luan Academy, straight to Professor Orion. He's one of the only people who studied mirror-based glyphs without going completely mad. He's also the only one who's ever mentioned False Shadow in a public lecture and survived the backlash. We met in the South Wing. His office is barely an office. It's more like a collapsing observatory stitched together with spiderweb diagrams and half-melted glass maps. The door was already open. He was waiting. You saw it, didn't you? Orion asked. I nodded and sat down. I didn't even take off my coat. The mirror shard was still wrapped in my scarf, and I began my report. Subject, False Shadow. Classification, unknown. Likely a cryptoglyph, or a subtype. We haven't named, possibly a mirror-born entity beyond our current containment understanding. Method of appearance. Appearance in a derelict observatory east of the ruined path. Manifest it as a freestanding mirror, unfixed to any structure. Activate it on proximity without contacts. It doesn't need touch. It reads intent. If you're searching for answers, it pulls. Confirmed. Entry was instant. Vision began immediately. Mirror world composed of overlapping personal fears. Environments react to emotional state, gravity unstable, time non-linear. That's why most people don't return, Orion said to me. He didn't interrupt much, just nodded occasionally, eyes behind those crescent glasses glinted with something between curiosity and concern. Then I told him about the jars, about how many names were etched into the glass. His face changed at that, like he recognized some of them, maybe even one that mattered. The jars are real. I saw one once. It had my brother's name. I'm sorry, I said softly. Don't be. He chose to stay. Said he wanted to learn from the fear. Okay, so let me start with the next part, Professor Orion. Escape method. The illusion fractured after subject recalled their own name and used a reflective blade to cut through the environment. False Shadow recoiled from contact with the metal. It's not the metal, Stella Ferris. It's the clarity. Anything forged with certainty. Still, silver, self. He can't touch it. I finished the report. closed the log, and just sat there for a moment. I asked him the question that had been digging into me the whole way back. Did I do the right thing, not catching him? He didn't answer right away, but then he said something I'll never forget. The right thing, maybe. The brave thing, absolutely. You didn't defeat him, but you didn't let him win either. That's the first step to saving something lost. We cataloged my findings, and I left the mirror shard with him, for keepsaking. He said he'd study it, but something tells me he already knew more than he let on. And me? I walked out of Luan Academy into the night, stars shimmering above the twin moons, or sorry, the twin suns, and the three moons, shining ever so slightly above, and I felt a little lighter. While Shadow is still out there, but I'm not alone in facing him anymore, and neither are you. After the long walk back from the academy, I didn't head to my room. Instead, I climbed up the porch, where I knew they'd be waiting. Senna was on the hammock, reading something ancient and probably forbidden. Luna was sitting on the steps with a bat bowl of glowing berry seeds, feeding Mirno by hand. They looked up the moment they heard me crunch across the gravel path. You look like someone tried to drown you in regret and then hung you out to dry. That's not far off, actually, Zena. You saw him, didn't you? False Shadow, Luna asked. Worse, I didn't catch him. Good, Zena replied. Good? I asked. You're not supposed to catch everything, Stelly. Some things, some glyphs, need to breathe. Even if their breath smells like sorrow and broken glass. Did he hurt you? Luna asked. No, not really. He showed me things, my worst fears. Losing all of you. Letting the sanctuary fall apart, becoming like her. Like Ravina, I said softly. He didn't make those fears. You already had them. He just pulled them to the surface. Luna said. And you faced them, that's power, Stella Ferris. You think glyph catching is about containment? But it's not. It's about resilience, witnessing what others can't. Zena said. I kept thinking of you two. It's what pulled me out, I said with tears in my eyes. We're always with you, even when your shadow walks the wrong way, Luna said. We stayed out there for a long time. Zena handed me a mug of rose root tea. Luna wrapped me in a blanket that smelled like cloud lavender and mint oil. The three of us just sat in the glow of the moons, saying nothing for a while, and maybe that's what I needed most. Not a lecture, not a mission, just them. You're lucky I like you. If you'd come back possessed, I would have hit you with a frying pan, Zena said, teasing me. I had salt lines in my drawer, just in case. Don't think I won't use them, Luna said. I love you too, I replied. Luna and Zena said at the same time in perfect unison, we know. I didn't catch False Shadow, as I've said like probably a million times already, but I faced him and I came home to the people who remind me who I am with the mirrors, or when the mirror lies. Maybe that's enough for now. After the laughter had finally died down and our teacups were empty, we leaned back against the porch railing, gazing up at the twin moons and the endless sky of Nibiru. It's twin suns and the three moons. And without really planning to, we started naming the stars. That one, bright and twitchy. That's Hexburn, because it looks like it wants to curse something, Zena said. Ooh, that cluster there, the Whisper Braid. I used to think that's where cloud glyphs go to sleep, Luna said, smiling. See the slow moving one over there? The soft gold one? That's Sanctum. Feels like a safe place, like home, I said. Not bad, Stelly. You've got naming talent, Zena said. Yeah, when she's not almost getting soul jarred, Luna replied. Fair, I said, laughing. There's something magical about naming stars. It doesn't change them, but it helps you remember where you were when you needed something to believe in. And tonight, under the sky that watched us live and laugh and survive, we named every single one we could see. Not because they were ours, but because we were theirs. And so, under the twin suns and the three moons, a sky full of memories, we name the stars. Some after dreams, some after fears, and some just because they made us feel less alone. While shadow is still out there, but tonight we didn't win. Tonight was ours, and tomorrow we keep going, naming the dark, one spark at a time. Until they then, travelers, stay brave, stay clever. And remember, no matter how deep the shadows fall, the stars are always waiting to be named. This has been the Monster Catchers Journal podcast, and I'm Stella Ferris. This is our sky. Goodbye. See you next time.
This is Stella Ferris signing off.